Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Dear friends and colleagues and ladies and gentlemen, it's always a great delight for me to be back in this old haunt where I used to find myself fighting the same battles as my former comrades in arms, like Deputy Director General Alejandro Jara here and Pascal Lamy are still doing gallantly and trying to establish the kind of trading regime that can be of great benefit to all of us. And I was used to having this room full of trade negotiators, so this morning is something which is different for me when this is a room full of statisticians. And I must say that you have really been very convincing when I came here at 9:30 and you were all seated, and it shows the kind of discipline that statisticians have. And I don't think negotiators or some of my delegates at the UN meetings would always find the same kind of discipline, because most of the time I have to say that, please, I beg your pardon, but I have to start the meeting on time. But you were all very punctual. It actually augurs a lot of encouragement and a good sense of discipline. I have also to beg my apology for the chair, because it was supposed to be my deputy who would come to this meeting, but there was a change of personality, because actually in the beginning I was supposed to be doing an opening remark at our own meeting back in the Palais des Nations, and it is about investment. But because of several factors that has made me change my mind, not only because I will have the opportunity to be seated next to Alejandro here, but also for the fact that another dear friend here, Pascal Lamy, a few days ago he actually gave us the honor of coming to our meetings at the Palais des Nations, which was about the issues of commodities. We were holding a World Commodity Forum the last few days, and Pascal came to do his opening remarks at our meeting, and we all greatly benefit from it and we all appreciate it. And I thought, this is a little thing, that if I can come to the World Trade Organization and be with you this morning. I think the second main reason about all this personal feelings is that throughout my working life, I always have to do with statistics, and whether you like it or not, as an academic, as a central banker, as a minister of finance, ministers, and all these positions that I've been through, I always found that when one comes to certain analysis and studies, and try to sort out your ways to be able to determine the right policies at all level, at macroeconomic level, at micro level, when I was part of a commercial bank, statistics has always been part of the annoying deficiency of the work that we have to do. And sometimes maybe we shift the blame to some of the statisticians when we cannot make decisions, but anyway, that was a convenient kind of an excuse. But I remember very well, because I mentioned the second reason, because when I was a student in Holland in the 60s, and when I was writing my dissertation under the first Nobel laurate, Professor Jan Tinbergen, who actually was recognized for his pioneer work in the areas of quantitative analysis in economics, the so-called econometrics. When he went to accept his Nobel Prize, and I had a chance to be with him because I was writing my dissertation with him, he mentioned to me that, look, I mean, besides the fact that I actually would have wished to have gained this Nobel laureate in peace, he actually told me he would prefer to have a peace prize rather than prize in economics. But besides all this, he said, besides all this, the work that I have done It was possible because people in the Netherlands had begun to collect the right kind of statistics so that he could put out his first economy-wide models. That was one of the first in its own to be able to point out the prices mechanism, the flows of trade. It has been very helpful for planning in the Netherlands, and it has become the sort of the kind of analytical toolkit that economists have been using. But he said this would not be possible without the kind of statistics that were at my disposal. And then he reminded me, you go back to your own countries, when you work with European countries, don't ever think that all these tools of econometrics would be as useful, because you still have to work on your statistics. That was something that was always at the back of my mind when he said, look, I mean, one of the signs of being underdeveloped or developing is a lack of statistical data that are on a consistency basis, standardized basis, long historical trends that could be relied upon for analysis. That was actually always embedded in my mind. And you will not be surprised if I tell you that the first book that I was recommended to read for the course was a book which is called How to Lie with Statistics. I'm sure you must have read this, and I'm sure at the Erasmus University today, I don't think the book is on the curriculum anymore, because I don't think we can keep on doing this sort of practice by trying to manipulate with the statistics. So that was my experience. The third thing, the third reason I feel motivated to be here is that this is a kind of joint work in our capacity building activities that five organizations are undertaking. Eurostat, OECD, WTO, UNSD, and UNCTAD, we are working together, and this is something that I find so encouraging and heartening, that in all these areas of our work, we're not very much different in the way we're working, but maybe our approaches would be different. But if all these five organizations could agree to harmonize and standardize the way they look at statistics, the way they collect it, this will be a great gain, benefit for the global trading community. And not only that, I think in terms of the change that we are seeing at the moment, that we're not going to go into business as usual in the future governance of our economy. It doesn't mean only the governance will have to change. There will have to be a reform of the financial architecture, for example. But we have also to change the way we base our arguments on as rigorous, as sound mechanisms backed up by statistics as much as possible. I mentioned this again, and Deputy Director General Hara and my friend Jomo has already alluded to all kind of technicalities, lack of consistencies, the dropout, the termination of series of statistics, and uncomparability of different kind of statistics from different countries. But yesterday, when I mentioned that Pascal was with us, we were discussing the kind of the crisis that is looming this year, which is the food crisis. You know that our colleagues from FAO has already produced the latest statistics. It's a food index. Food index that FAO has produced for the end of 2010 indicated that we're only a notch below the level of index in 2008, when we were in the at the peak of the crisis, when oil price went to $147 a barrel in July 2008. You remember those days when all the copper prices, iron ores, wheat, and everything went through the roof. Now the statistics are showing again that we are close to that level. We're not yet there, but you're beginning to see all the riots here and there, and people complaining. And I wouldn't say maybe some of the turmoil we're seeing in Northern Africa maybe partly explained from this kind of food insecurity, unemployment, and all this sort of thing. I'm saying all this not to be talking about politics, but I want to emphasize some statistical deficiency, because when we were discussing this 2 days ago, UNCTAD was saying that, of course, when economies around the world begin to recover, they would have their demand being increased to the level that it may induce the rise in the price of commodities. But the fact is that in spite of all the fundamental changes of supply-demand, Director General Lamy was talking about the government interventions. For some countries, government intervened so that prices sometimes are distorted and markets are inhibited in the way markets can produce the right kind of prices. But over and above all this, the thing that ANCA tried to remind the world, and we need to tackle it, is the issue of what we call financial speculation. That speculations in the commodity market these days are not basically commercial speculations that will be needed to drive the market forward, to give the information to the producers and the traders. In the last couple of years, and since 2007, since the demise of the financial sector, a lot of funds have been moved out of the financial asset area into commodities area, and this has become an alternative means of financial investment ranging from money market funds, index funds, university funds, provident funds. All kind of funds are going and buy indexes in the market. Now the trouble is, ANCAD has been always portraying the necessity that we have to come to grips with financial speculation, because it produces all kinds of distortions and very negative for those countries that are net food importing, for example. Or it might drive the oil price into 150 range again, which is it doesn't deserve. Because at the moment supply and demand of oil is just equilibrium. It's just $86 million a barrel per day, and it's just balanced. So the fact is that we have to be able to determine the level of financial speculation. The problem always with determining that in our analysis is that there is a lack of statistics. There is a lack of statistical data in all forms of trade in the areas, not in oil maybe, but in the areas of commodities, agriculture commodities trade. We cannot segregate between commercial speculations and financial speculations. We don't know who the hedges are. Are they hedging because they have spot positions or because they're just purely investors, financial investors? And many of my fellow economists are saying that you can only prove speculations when you have the right data on inventories. You see, when you have inventories on different areas of goods that are produced and are traded, then you can go to the conclusion whether there is speculation or not. Because when you speculate, you have to build up inventories. And these days, in the last few years, there has been pro and con, there has been arguments back and forth. I made the beginning start with the belief and conclusion that there is no speculation. We can't detect any change in the inventory positions. And by and by, gradually, when statistics on inventories are beginning to be made known and people begin to have a systematic collection of statistics on inventory, they begin to converge with the ideas of ANCA that yes, there has been some changes in inventory, there has been some moves in speculation. The last few days with the oil ministers with us from the Middle East, they were saying, oil price should not go up beyond this year $90 to $100 a barrel. Granted that there was some control, some regulations on the speculations on the oil futures. So here lies some parts of the work that we are doing, and I'm sure that you would all realize that if we want to try to create or recreate an orderly global governance, in several key areas we need to have some really backup of the statistics, and not in the least when we negotiate. As with Ambassador Hara here, I have also been doing my bit of negotiations in my lifetime. And many times in the past when I had to represent my own country in negotiating with other countries, comparability of our statistics has been always hopeless. Always hopeless, because we would be saying that with you we have huge deficit, and they would say with you we have a lot of deficit. And then back and forth, it took us months, and it took us maybe for some major countries, I won't name names, but it took us some years before we could actually begin to sort out the differences in the way we define our statistics. Whether statistics would count the coming through some other countries, third country would be counted as your own goods and things like that. We talked a lot in the past about the so-called, what is it, the comprehensive transformation, or what is it called, the substantial transformation of products. When products go through different countries and being produced, you know, in your own countries, how are your rules of origins going to be portrayed? I mean, this has been a hopeless kind of negotiations from time immemorial because of the lack of the kind of consistency in the way we do our statistics. And besides all this, when we discuss the importance of our negotiations in various fields, like in services, and Basahara has also been mentioning, and Yomo also, we lack the kind of statistics that we'd be able to use, because in services, this is even less tangible in trade in merchandise products. But we must be able to measure and establish what kind of services trade volume we are talking about. I can go on, I was thinking of different kinds of statistics that maybe it's, nobody mentions it here, but I just mentioned it because this round, and if there would be rounds to come, or future negotiations on trade to come, we'll be dealing more and more with the so-called non-tariff barriers. These are things that we need to measure in the future, but we can't even begin to think of how to measure non-tariff barriers if some of the merchandise tariffs are not even, or the trade flows are not even measurable. We need to also measure, be able to measure the non-tariff quantum, so to understand how to negotiate down the non-tariff barriers as well. There are still other areas of negotiations that can be really enlightened and elucidate when negotiators understand more deeply that when you're talking about exchanges of your benefits, or when people think you're losing something, it's not that way. It is, you all are creating a larger volume of trade so that everyone can share. And not until people understand that we are doing the business of, you know, all sorts of bilateral or multilateral negotiations to create a larger volume of trade for everyone, then people will not understand why they should be negotiating. Because otherwise we always be thinking of just me first, buyers, by investors, and do our own thing. I am just trying to make use of all this exercise and examples, because I know all the right things, technical things have been said by Deputy Director General and my friend Yomo already. But I would like to conclude by saying that the work that we are doing under the guidance of the Conference of European Statisticians and a group of national statistical agencies that has been attempted in 2005 to coordinate a collection of data for a sample of multinational enterprises, that has been very helpful in areas that we've been talking about, the new kind of trade, which is not just a trade being produced by one country. And again, the Deputy Director General has been correct in saying that this is not a national production anymore. Trade statistics are not portraying the kind of competitiveness that we used to say, that we used to see. More so than that, when trade statistics are compared to the movement in currencies, of course, I mean, currencies tend to move up and down because trade moves up and down and in different directions. But these days, when trade statistics are not always indicative of the kind of competitiveness, so are the currencies movement not really representative of the way countries would like to see their competitiveness being represented. So all over again, we have to be sensitive at the way that we are looking at data, and here I was talking about these multinational enterprises that are producing things all over the place, and we agree with the WTO and our colleagues here that in the future, it's not going to be a trade volume that will be created because of international trade. It's the international players, it's the multilateral players that are going to determine all this. From UNCTAD's side, we've been doing a lot of work to try to help with this collection of statistics by working with the multinational, transnational firms, which are doing investment around the world. And this investment actually leads to the kind of supply chain and leads to the kind of trade in the area of intermediate goods that we need to measure better in the future so that we'll be able to determine how to negotiate and how to help in regulating all these trade flows. In general, statisticians have a long tradition of working together in the area of methodology, sharing of data, and capacity building activities. This time, five organizations that I mentioned, Eurostat, OECD, UNSD, UNCTAD, and WTO, currently work together to reconcile their time series on total merchandise trade statistics using international standards as benchmark. UNCTAD took the lead in organizing, together with eight other Geneva-based organizations, a conference on measuring a globalized world, the Geneva contribution. This was done in October last year. In future, even greater interagency collaboration will be needed to tackle the next challenge for the production of accurate trade statistics and to capture the evolving nature of globalization, as I have been alluding to. The organization of this forum is a first step towards meeting all these challenges. I can assure you that from our side, UNCTAD remain committed to the collaboration and further elaboration of methods to collect and disseminate trade and business data for the benefits of all users worldwide. Thank you very much for your attention.